T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer, and a lot of other things.
61.
61 episodes today, people.
That's
61.
A lot of episodes.
Man. That's a lot of talking about health and poop and digestion.
I know. You'd think we would be good at it by now.
Yeah, and you think we'd run out of topics.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We will.
Yeah.
They just keep creating new diseases. So.
Yeah. Just talk about some else.
Yeah, they make up new stuff every week or so we'll just keep
that.
We're in business
forever. And that other voice you hear over there who's checking his text right now, Will Hottie Patati Schmidt.
I'm looking up the composition of coconut oil.
Oh, okay. It's podcast
just
related.
Just to refresh.
It's podcast related.
Was she just yelling at you a little bit, kind of?
Yeah, I was like, hey, you're not paying. I'm paying extra attention.
I'm giving you a hard time. So if you haven't heard, we're fancy now, and today's show is brought to you by Audible.com.
Audible.com.
Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, but the only one you really need is Kick It in the Nuts.
Kick your fat in the nuts.
Kick your fat.
That's
in
an
nuts.
Audiobook. That's how fancy it is.
Yeah, baby.
Some guy just reading it to you like it's a bedtime story.
Mm-hmm. So, and I had wanted to do it all in bad accents, but I got vetoed.
You got denied.
Be glad.
Mm-hmm. We got a heaping helping of questions on Facebook.
Yeah, we do. And today we're talking about coconut oil. Fact or fiction? Is it good? Is it bad?
When do you use it? Who uses it? What do you use it for?
What
all
do you
that
put
stuff.
It on?
Yeah, all those things. We're going to find out.
Okay.
I think Mark's going to explain that part too.
Yeah, he's going to explain some super adult stuff.
Yeah. So I think that we can probably just go into questions because we'll end up covering all of it. But we wanted to do this episode because there's still people out there that are still 20 years behind right along with the mainstream information. So we wanted to clear that up. And then some people in our support group the last few weeks shared like some interesting uses of coconut oil. I was like, we should kind of share that.
Okay, cool.
So let's jump into questions from our Facebook page.
All right, Lexi from someplace I can't pronounce, UK.
Dunfermline. Fifi.
Yeah. Can you cook with coconut oil? Cole from Beaufort, Georgia. Yes, it's a dense oil for medium-high heat cooking. You can cook anything in it. It has little to no flavor. Kenna, that's me. From Los Angeles, California. There is also a brand called Aunt Patty's Coconut Oil that has zero coconut smell and flavor. You can buy it online or at some Whole Foods. If your Whole Foods doesn't carry it, then they usually can order it for you. I like cooking my savory food with it and then switching to a brand with more pronounced coconut flavor if I'm baking something, because I just can't eat scrambled eggs that taste like coconut.
Yeah, so, and that's the case with some people, that they either don't like the smell of it cooking or they don't like the taste as much. Mm-hmm. But for most people, like even with eggs,
well,
the
Tony
first
could
time,
just drink it.
Right,
know?
I do. Yeah, I eat it by the spoonful and I just like it. Because I'm a man.
Yeah.
It's a macho thing if you can just eat it.
Yeah, some people say it's an acquired taste that after a while you can't really taste it, but I never got to that point. Like,
right.
I tried and tried and tried and couldn't get there.
Right. But for most people, like something like eggs, it really soaks up the taste. It'll taste a little different. I'll be like, that kind of tasted different. But after you eat it a couple of times, most people are like, I like that better now.
Yeah.
Most people who don't
Not
have
all
good
people.
Sense.
Right. Uh-huh.
No, but the Aunt Patty's, if you can't stand it and it repulses you or whatever, that smell when you walk into the house, it's like, oh my gosh, and more coconut oil, then get the Aunt Patty's. I mean, it's really good. It has all the benefits and it doesn't smell and it doesn't taste. So there you go. Did we answer all those questions? I think Cole answered.
I think we did, but yeah, you really can cook anything with it, and it's really good for cooking because it stands up well to heat.
We should also maybe point out why it's not good to cook with other oils that are not
like
so
olive
good.
Olive oil, I used to think it was great, but it's really not great.
Right, it's tasty and its own thing, but it's because the fatty acids in most plant-based oils are really, really unstable. And they'll go rancid just sitting on a shelf for a little bit of time exposed to air, but they'll go rancid right away when you heat them. And what that really means, like why that's bad, it becomes a fat that your body has absolutely no use for and has a lot of toxic free radical damage that comes from those heated fatty acids. It's as bad as eating fried food. Not as tasty necessarily as like chicken, Kentucky Fried Chicken or something like that, but heated olive oil, you're like, oh, I'm making a healthy choice, I'm being so good, but it's equivalent to deep frying your food and like eating French fries.
You know? Right, so for decades they had us cooking with all of these canola oils and vegetable oils and Crisco.
Yeah.
That was some good stuff.
Yeah, man. Put it in the fry daddy.
And they were telling us that this is the healthy way to do it, and oops.
Yeah, all that, I can't believe it's not butter, margarine, all it shouldn't even be legal to sell, in my opinion. Yeah.
Right, and it's all synthetic, and it's not good stuff, but for a long time, they told us this was the route to go, but it turns out that it's not. But coconut oil is much safer, and it doesn't cause those same issues.
Yeah.
Now, at a high enough heat, it can smoke, and you won't be able to see in your kitchen.
Right.
But that's fine.
Yeah, you have to,
as long as you're not using Crisco and putting that in your body.
Right. You gotta get to like 400 degrees.
Yeah, you really gotta crank it up.
Smoking.
So you can cook with coconut oil, and then you can pour olive oil over things when it's, not hot, like your salad, your stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. And I've seen some things that indicate that, baking with something like with olive oil in it and stuff like that, it doesn't cause as much damage, but I've heard other people say, yeah, it does. So I've seen both sides of that argument, and I'm not one to punch anybody in the face for it, but with all those older oils that they were telling us to use, we know now that those are just horrible. It's just about one of the worst things you can do is cook with those other
great
oils. Oops.
All right, Richard from Tallahassee, Florida. TC, what does coconut oil taste like? Love your podcast, brother.
That's exactly what Richard sounds like.
I
know him. He used to shuck oysters with me in this raw seafood bar. We would shuck oysters. It was good times. Mm-hmm. All cool kids worked there.
Nice.
But for most people, it doesn't have a lot of taste, but for some people, it has like a severe taste.
Yeah, Nina hates it.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. She's just not a fan whatsoever. And I've seen a handful of clients that were like that, absolutely.
Yeah, so that one you were mentioning, that
Aunt Patty's.
Yeah, and there's some other ones too. They're like liquid at room temperature, which is kind of easier to use for some people. And really, it just tastes like this watery oil.
Yeah, right. Well, Aunt Patty's is, of course, solid, and then when it gets hot outside or it's too warm, it's liquid.
You must be losing some of the fats, though, when you do that. Like, obviously, there's some things in it in regular unrefined coconut oil that have beneficial properties, like antifungal and antibacterial properties.
But does the regular coconut oil, doesn't it also, when it's warm out, go liquid?
It does. It does. Okay. They have ones that are liquid at room temperature.
Right. Remember, I can't remember which one it is, but it's the lauric acid or the caprylic acid that is taken out. It's one of those things that causes it to harden at the specific temperatures.
For
the liquid ones, it's taken out.
Yeah, which might be an oil you want if you're into the benefit of that particular fat gives you.
Right, yeah. And we'll probably talk about MCT oils a little bit in this episode too.
And the coconut yummies that you suggest, I like those, and I like when you're baking and you want something to have like a coconut flavor, it's great.
Yeah.
But when you don't, it's like, ooh, I'm eating coconut eggs.
Yeah, but for the most part, eggs is the only thing that it stands out severely for most people.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, if you're cooking a stir fry, you're going to use seasonings and stuff, and all of that covers most of the coconut flavor.
Right.
Nina's shaking her head no.
Right.
All right. Christy from Dublin, Ireland. Coconut oil is 80% saturated fat for every 100 grams. Do people actually know this? It's true. Sharon, my doc said coconut oil affects cholesterol adversely. Is this true? Cole, Buford, Georgia. That's extremely outdated anti-fat rhetoric. Is that...
You said that right. It was spelled wrong. Good job.
Whoa. Yeah. Your doctor needs to review modern science. Claire, Derby, UK, a doctor will often condemn anything natural. No money in it for medical world. Aloe vera is another one they put down. Nora, Sharon, your doctor is nuts.
So let's cover these, even though those people answered a lot of the questions for us. And this is really typical for doctors to still be telling people stay away from saturated fat, it's going to raise your cholesterol, you're going to have a heart attack, and you're almost dead already just because you were talking about eating saturated fat. So why did we get there?
You know, there's a lot of, I think we talked a lot about this in a previous episode. We talked about good fats.
Yeah, we had a dietary fat episode.
A whole episode on fat like that. We're talking about these, like the socioeconomic reasons behind why unsaturated fats were promoted so heavily and these plant-based fats that the government could, in our general economy, could really benefit from if they were popular. Whereas we don't have that much coconut oil to like really monger. Corn oil and all that sort of stuff, like we got tons of. So it got a bad rap and it's sort of stuck in people's consciousness. They do teach now, though, in medical schools, like that is not how it works. Like you get high cholesterol from elevated triglycerides, which is part of errant carbohydrate metabolism. Like they tell them that as they're going through med school. Like, so all your doctors now in these younger generations, they know that, and whether or not they're going to still share that what you can do nutritionally with that information is another thing, or if they're going to
put you on the med. But that's pretty recent. So if your doctor is like 30 or older, yeah, you got to be like, sorry, you're too old to be a good doctor. You know, how do you do that?
So they're dealing with a lot of outdated misinformation, which is being corrected now, but who knows if the pharmaceutical companies are going to jump on board with that and be like, hey, you know what? Let's not use our drugs. Let's just promote saturated fats to help fix people's cholesterol. Because it's really clear now in the scientific research that that is not at all how like low-density lipids or what's called bad cholesterol levels are elevated. And they've done lots of studies that show people with diets that are richer in these saturated fats and restrict their carbohydrate and fatty acid consumption fantastically improve their carbohydrate, their cholesterol ratios. They improve their HDL and decrease their LDL, decrease their triglycerides on a diet of like super rich coconut and ghee and all that sort of.
Right. Yeah. And animal fats.
Yeah. It's not even debatable anymore.
The whole egg even. Dun, dun, dun,
yeah,
dun.
Yeah. So if you're willing to listen to an audiobook, or a guy, Jimmy Moore, has a really great book called Cholesterol Clarity, where he'll just slam you with so much research and documentation that this is accurate. You know?
Right. So where we are right now is that, you know, and we traveled the country interviewing nutrition experts, authors, all these people, science guys that do all this work. And we couldn't find anybody that's thought that saturated fat was the cause of heart disease. You know, everybody knows this now. The problem is that it takes 20 years for new knowledge to catch up with the mainstream. And I don't think there's ever going to be a way around that. Just all the paperwork for government regulation and suggestions and recommendations, it just takes too long.
It's like calories. People still believe in the whole calorie thing.
Yeah. Right. So it's a lot of... And to give you an idea, you listen to our dietary fats episode to understand this more, but the quick explanation is that long ago, some scientists found that there's a correlation between heart disease and saturated fat. So they opened up all these people that died from heart attacks, and all this saturated fat was in there. So they said, oh, well, let's, you know, don't ever eat saturated fat, because look at what happened to these guys. They flat out died. They died all the way. So that's what they stuck with. It just made sense to them. But the reality is that when we eat carbohydrates that are more than we can store, the body converts that to palmitic acid, which is a type of saturated fat, so that it can store that for energy later. So the saturated fat that they were looking at that was causing all the trouble doesn't even come from consuming saturated fats. It comes from consuming excess carbohydrates. So we know that now. Everybody knows that now. It's fact as far as all the information we have to date. It's supposed to be round. Mm-hmm. So it's just going to take a long time for that to catch up. But that's a big deal because people restrict consuming good saturated fats that can improve their health because they've just been slammed with over and over again, bad, 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 bad.
Yeah. All my baby boomer clients have such a hard time converting their thoughts. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd be like, here's all the research. Here's the benefit. Look, your numbers are getting better. Like, uh-huh. And they're like, I'm still afraid. You know, they're just so scared to eat butter or saturated fats. Mm-hmm. Even with all the logic staring them in the face, it's tricky.
Yeah, and I've had clients who have lost, you know, well over 150 pounds eating coconut oil a tablespoon at a time at every meal for a year. And then a relative who's a doctor will say, well, you can't have all that saturated fat, you're going to die. And they stop doing it and can't lose weight anymore. So don't look at the thing that helped you lose hundreds of pounds. Mm. Listen to a doctor that's using information from 40 years ago.
Yeah.
So this is what we want to do. We're just trying to help people understand the benefits of things like coconut oil. And who we'll get into who should use it and all that stuff, too, as we go on.
And turn you against your doctors.
Right.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Okay, so Evelyn, Los Angeles, California. I heard it helps with weight loss. It does.
Well, it does in the most roundabout. So let's talk about first when it doesn't. When will it not help with weight loss?
It will not help with weight loss if you're not good at digesting fats.
Right.
That's the biggest thing. And also if you don't stop eating the things that are making you fat.
If you don't what now?
If you don't
or
stop.
If you continue, okay,
eating,
right.
Yeah.
You're still eating coconut oil, but you're also still eating a bunch of meat.
Like, I don't know. I put coconut on top of my fries.
Yeah. I can hardly even see.
Fries and coconut oil.
I can hardly see the Lucky Charms in my bowl because right. I have so much coconut oil
right.
in there.
It's just, no. Okay, so.
That's problem number one, is if you can't emulsify fats, if your bile is not flowing correctly, you can't digest fats correctly, and then those fats are not nutrition, they become a burden.
Yeah. And if you're still eating foods that are pulling you out of fat-burning mode, that will also keep you from losing fat.
Like carbs?
Like sugar, yeah. So we have a couple episodes on the ketogenic diet where we talk about how eating fats and getting your body into fat-burning mode is definitely, bar none, the best way to lose fat. And that will help you understand what we're talking about here and why I'm saying if you don't stop eating carbohydrates to some degree also, the coconut oil and saturated fats won't necessarily fix the reason why you're staying fat.
Right. And if you have carb cravings, we have episodes of that that explain how that happens and what to do about it. But the other issue that can happen is that coconut oil can tend to be a little bit pro-anabolic. And for nobody who's ever listened, if you've never listened to us, maybe Will can quickly explain the difference between a catabolic and anabolic state at the cellular level.
Yeah. There's a lot going on with this, so don't think this is an exhaustive explanation of the catabolic-anabolic imbalance, but you don't want to be too much of one or the other, and coconut oil pushes you to be more anabolic, and if you are already anabolic, that could be imbalancing. And the way it really messes the individual up that's too anabolic already is it screws up the ability of that cell to make energy. It can make that cell too closed off to the surrounding environment, and it screws up the oxidation of carbohydrates and fats and energy, and it creates a very low oxygen level inside the cell. And think of it like you have an engine in your car.
I have an engine in my car.
Awesome. Well, this will work
this
as
is a perfect, be a
perfect
story
okay,
for
so
me.
Run with that and think about if your engine is getting too much fuel and not enough oxygen into the engine. So it creates this like choking, like extra smoggy exhaust, right? That's what happens in an anabolic cellular metabolism. They're forced to make energy without enough oxygen getting into the cell, and it will still try to run like your car clunking down the street, like pumping out all this smog, but it's creating energy in this dirty way through anaerobic fermentation, which means like low oxygen or oxygenless energy metabolism. So it creates all this extra lactic acid, which can make you freak out and contribute
anxiety to, issues and
yeah.
stuff like that,
and also just low energy because you're not combusting your fuel, you're not turning that fuel into clean, usable energy effectively because of the problems with oxygen not being able to get into the cells, which is related to this whole anabolic thing. So the more anabolic you get, the more dirty fuel and lactic acid and lower energy production you'll get, and that's not useful.
Yeah, so and don't get confused. The anabolic state is basically we move into that state at night. All of us are supposed to do that. So there's nothing wrong with the anabolic state, but some people get stuck, pushed too far in that state all the time. And we're supposed to be in a more catabolic, where open up the cellular level is a little more opened and we're creating more energy. We're supposed to be that way during the day so tissues can break down. And then at night in the anabolic state, they're rebuilt. And that's how things stay functioning and pretty.
Yeah. If you think about someone trying to lose weight and they're stuck in that anabolic state, Think of someone like if they're taking anabolic steroids and they're severely anabolic because of that. All the time their body's trying to rest and rebuild and grow, right? That's not the fat burning mode necessarily. They're like their tissues are trying to like conserve energy and build more tissue, which is not like the state you want to be in if you're trying to lose weight.
And for some reason while they're on the steroids, they put all of that weight on their neck. So they can have a huge neck. Yeah. I'm not sure why that happens.
Yeah.
But another issue is that in this overly imbalanced anabolic state most of the time type situation, it can kind of change where the body sends water and the person can get really constipated. So if you have a person that's constipated and they're trying to lose weight and they can't lose weight because they're constipated, adding coconut oil in at that point could cause that person to be more anabolic and more constipated, therefore making it even harder to lose weight.
Yeah, and the way that works, like the more anabolic you are, the more of the water you consume goes out through your kidneys instead of your colon. So think of it like a little turret or like a turret in a stream. You could direct more water towards the colon if you're the more catabolic you are, or more water towards the kidneys the more anabolic you are. So you don't want to push more towards the kidneys if you're like having to wake up at night to pee all the time and you only go to the bathroom every other day.
Right.
Eating anabolic inducing foods like coconut oil would maybe not be a good idea right now.
Right. So, and we teach people how to run simple tests on their physiology in our free 4-week digestion course at kickitonthenuts.com. So you can run these tests and kind of get an eye of what your physiology is doing. Are you stuck in one state? But I talk about this a lot in Kick Your Fat in the Nuts, that coconut oil can be so effective for helping people drop weight that even if you're in a position where you're too anabolic and should not use coconut oil, I suggest taking steps to improve that imbalance so that you qualify to use coconut oil.
Yeah, because I'm anabolic and I use it all the time.
Yeah.
Right. So we corrected a lot of stuff with Kenna. We did not correct everything with Kenna.
No.
Still,
but we corrected
still,
a lot
I'm
of
a
stuff.
I'm a work in progress, crazy. Baby.
Well, maybe...
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, can I say one more thing about Evelyn's thing?
Yeah.
Just real briefly on the heard it helps with weight loss thing, like, I just want to mention quickly so you get more interest in that whole ketogenic podcast episode that we did is if you're eating carbohydrates or a lot of protein, your body is going to run mostly on glucose. It's going to try to use that for energy, which means it's going to not turn to body fat or dietary fat for energy. And that's a problem because if you're trying to lose fat then and weight in general, then you want your body to be going after your body fat and eating that and turning metabolize that and turn it into energy. But it won't do that as long as it has glucose available. So just adding fat to your diet is not going to help unless you restrict the sources of glucose and force the body into using fat for energy.
And that doesn't mean that a person has to have no carbs. You know, when we talk about ketogenic diets, there's a lot of benefits and things to go that route. But even when a person can just lower their carb consumption and then add in things like coconut oil and supply the body with good fat, the body can start to learn to burn a little bit of fat, especially when you've burned up most of the glucose and now you're supposed to be able to switch over to burning fat. It's like this backup storage that we have. The problem is most people can't access that storage because insulin levels are always high from all the carbs that they're eating. So we teach people how to bring insulin levels down so the body can access stored fat. And things like coconut oil can be almost like training wheels for your body to just kind of stoke the flame a little bit and teach it, hey, this is available. It's really easy to burn for fuel, so I'm going to learn to burn this. And once I do that, hey, I did pretty well with that. I might as well burn some of this body fat too. But you still have to set up the body so that it can access that body fat. And with high insulin levels, it can't.
And I think it's good that you said that again about the protein. Like if you're eating too much protein too, because that'll turn it into sugar or glucose, whatever. Because sometimes I forget about that. And then I'm like, maybe I'm eating too much protein, you know. So that's good to remember.
Right.
All right, Keely from Los Angeles, California. I've heard of people turning it into body lotion. How do you do that, and does it work? Sarah, I melt the oil and then put it in my stand mixer and mix it until it solidifies again. This makes the texture of the lotion smoother. I also add essential oil. You can add other oils, but I do not since I use it on my kids. I love using it as a lotion. Just remember that a little goes a long way. Amber from Clara, Michigan. You can use it alone or put beeswax on it. Beeswax and oil in a mason jar. Set it on a pot of water. Boil until they're melted. Carefully remove. Stir in olive oil and vitamin E. Continue doing it as it solidifies. You can add essential oil of your choice at the end.
Wow, Amber.
Wow. She's, hello. She's like an apothecary. Yeah. Over there.
I know, right? You'd see her own YouTube channel like doing that.
So there's a lot of benefits to this just because coconut oil is very antibacterial, antimicrobial type of stuff. And that's why you hear about people using it like to brush their teeth and put on infections and stuff like that, just because it's so effective at wiping out bacterial type situations.
Yeah, it's all, and they even do this thing in Indian traditions of oil pulling with their teeth. You heard of that? You like swish with oil, because certain compounds are fat soluble. So just like rinsing with a water based sort of cleanser, like Scope or something, doesn't necessarily get at it. But it's called oil pulling, where you swish with oil for like 20 minutes in your mouth, and it can pull out all the like stains on your teeth that are fat based fat soluble.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah,
I didn't know about that.
Sounds nauseating, but I think it works.
Cheryl, I use it in my hair once a week. Miriam, do you see a difference? And isn't it hard to wash out? Cheryl, no, it's great. Not hard to wash out at all.
Yeah, and I was looking at some of this because I've never talked to people who use this. But it appears that oil has the ability to get into the hair follicle. The coconut oil does. Uh-huh. And I'm not sure exactly why that would be. But since hair is made of protein, and we've talked about that on an episode about female hair loss, so adding the fats in there seems to be able to help the strength of it. And I've never tried that. Do you know anybody who's tried that?
I lived in India for like 4 years, so that's very common for them to use coconut oil as their hair gel. It does have the scent of coconut, though, so you might not want to smell like that. As far as using it as a body lotion, though, again, because it is a pro-anabolic fat, I wouldn't recommend it for someone who's already too anabolic. Like for me, I lean anabolic, and part of that goes along with being like the higher you get your testosterone levels, the more sort of these saturated fats that you'll create in your skin. And there's certain types of bacteria that will live on those fats, and they eat them and create like irritation to the skin. And that's where you get acne related to like bodybuilders that are either like taking testosterone or growth hormone, or that are just adolescents that have really high testosterone levels because of where they're at in their life. Or if you're training hard and eating foods that are helping build muscle, you're going to push yourself to be more anabolic if you're doing it right. And that can make you more susceptible to like acne skin issues related to the bacteria that feed off of the fats that come from being too anabolic. So wouldn't, like for me, if I put oil on my skin, I break out from it. Yeah, it's because of that.
I would too. But my lips now, I'll put some coconut oil on my lips if they're chapter dry, and that's great. You know.
Yeah.
Jazzy, see? More uses.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Amber again. Clara, Michigan. Why do I crave spinach sautéed in coconut oil?
Because it's delicious. That's why.
It is yummy. It's also a really great way to cook beet greens, which are otherwise like kind of bitter and don't taste so good. Sauté them in like coconut oil with a little salt, and it's freaking awesome.
I'm getting hungry, boys. Okay, yeah.
But when you're cooking in the coconut oils and then you eat that food, you're getting all the benefits of the coconut oil. So all of those fats, and a big deal with saturated fats, especially like coconut oil, that are easy for the body to access and use when it comes to weight loss, is that a lot of times the body's just holding on to fat because the person isn't eating any. And the body needs fats for all of these functions. So a person can be eating right, but have a hard time losing weight because they're eating low fat like some idiot told them to do 40 years ago.
Right.
So one of the benefits of coconut oil when it comes to weight loss is that you're giving your body the fats that it needs to function, and then it doesn't feel so stingy. It can let go of fat that it had stored, and it can burn that for fuel, and it's fine. But if you're not putting fats in, it'll hold on to those stored fats like money in the bank.
Yeah.
Also, you feel more full. Like yeah, it's very satiating. When you eat more fats and
absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely. And I would say, like, we've said a lot of, like, provisos about maybe why we wouldn't want to use coconut oil if you're too anabolic, but just, like, for the record, we are huge fans of using coconut in general. Like you said, if you are too anabolic, try to push yourself into a situation where your chemistry is catabolic enough to really benefit from it, because it's amazing. So much so that, like, we've included in a lot of the recipes that we're using in our cookbook. We want to even...
It should just be called coconut and a couple of things thrown
yeah.
in.
Yeah. Ways to use coconut cookbook.
Yeah, and it's...
15,000 ways to cook with coconut oil.
It's, I find that it's not... Like, there are some foods like a runny egg yolk that is very pro-anabolic, and I find that coconut oil doesn't seem to be as anabolic as that.
Yeah.
And if somebody's balanced, they seem to do fine with it. It's just the very extreme people that are so anabolic that they pooped once last month. Mm. You know, those type of situations where if they have coconut oil, it will push them much further.
Yeah.
Mm, okay. Megan from LaGrange, Ohio. How do you know when you qualify to increase your coconut oil intake? What self-test measurements should one look for? How timing is everything, and more isn't always better unless it is the right time. What to watch for if taking too much coconut oil? You get my drift?
I do, Megan. And I talk about this a lot in my book, and that's probably why she was asking about it. But... one indication that you should not be having so much coconut oil is if you start to break out. And that's usually a strong indication that your bile is not flowing enough to emulsify the amount of fats that you're consuming. So you might do fine on a little bit of coconut oil, but when you increase it, you find that you start to break out. And why don't you explain why we have breakouts with fats that aren't digested?
Yeah, because they will... Well, there's a couple reasons why acne can break out, but I think what you're relating to is when the fats aren't broken down and they're getting circulated through the bloodstream and they're not being eliminated out through the bile like we want them to, and they're not being broken down into usable bits, then the skin is going to work as a filter organ to try to help out and push them out through the skin. And like I was talking about earlier, there's bacteria that will feed on those fats, and then that irritates the skin and creates acne in response to the fats that are secreting.
Right. So that's one of the big signs. And or if you get nauseous from eating too much fat, it kind of helps you understand, okay, I don't have the ability to process that much fats. And that's very common, especially in a world where we've been eating low fat since parachute pants kind of stuff. So it's caused a lot of trouble, because if you don't use your bile, it sludges up and doesn't flow, and now we have problems.
Yeah.
I'm anabolic, and every time I eat with coconut oil, I'm totally fine. It's when I add when I do the ketogenic and I add the butter and the heavy cream
just
and stuff like
huge
that.
Amounts.
Yeah. Then it's like, then I have to like work on my digestion to get that all.
One thing that when we talked about the ketogenic episodes is that a lot of people will use MCT oils, and MCT oil is made from coconut oil if you're using a good one, like Buried Treasure, but it's not the whole compound. It's mainly just the medium chain triglycerides, and those fats are very easy for the body to burn as fuel, so we use that to kind of boost that fat burning situation. But for a person that can't process a ton of fats, high levels of MCT oil will make them nauseous and not feel so great, or even have discomfort.
Yeah.
Or even diarrhea type stuff.
Yeah.
So we have people add that very slowly and build that up. But it's just a good example that shows how someone else who has really poor bile flow can eat just about any fat and be nauseous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also just to pinpoint some answers for Megan, like the things you would look at in your self-test to see would be like if your saliva pH is low, like if it's below 6.7 or something like that, if it's around 6.2 or 3, that's an indication of maybe not being ready to increase your fat intake.
It's an indication that bile's not flowing.
Yeah. Well. If you use the urine dipstick test and you see bilirubin or urobilogen present, those are other big indicators that probably not a good idea.
Right, and this is an 11-parameter dipstick that you can get at like Amazon and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I have we show you how to do these self-tests, and I have a page on my website at mybodyofknowledge.net/self-tests, where you can see videos of how to do these different tests, including that one, the urine dipstick test. which can show you your urobilogen or bilirubin in your urine, which should not be there. That's an indication that your bile is not flowing correctly and it's refluxing back through the blood and out through the kidneys. Also, if your urine-specific gravity, which is also a measurement on that same dipstick, if that's kind of high, that's an indication of being in a catabolic imbalance, which catabolic people tend to have bile that is more sticky and sludgy and crystallizes into gallstones and things like that.
Because not enough water is going through the kidney pathway, so it kind of can help sludge that up a little bit.
Yeah, and the catabolic state, there's also an increase in amount of bilirubin, cell die-off, that makes the bile more crystally. So any of those markers, as well as digestive symptoms, like if your stool is light in color, or if you tend towards diarrhea, or like you said, acne or nausea, all those are indications that your bile flow is not really on point yet, and you should do work to improve that before you try to increase your fat intake.
And, you know, we teach people how to do those with things like beet flow that has a lot of beet greens in it, coffee suppositories or coffee enemas, but if you can take those steps to help thin it out a little bit, it seems to improve for most people pretty quickly. But another thing that can help improve that is to continue eating fats that are going to force the body to have a need for bile, and it'll keep trying to pump that out. Whereas if it's really backed up, it's not going to fix it, and you're just going to get more and more nauseous and hurl and not like us.
Yeah, don't. Right.
But if you can take the steps to make it thinner and flow better, then eating more fats seems, you know, consistently, and you might have to start slowly, but doing it every day and keeping that going seems to have an ability to help that even further. As far as timing, I tell a lot of people that, you know, I talk about these coconut yummies that I make, where I just melt some coconut oil and put some stevia or maybe something else, and then it causes some flavor. And then you put it in little molds and put it in the refrigerator, and it hardens. It's like an after-dinner mint. And it's just a way to get a lot more good fats in your meal. But I tell people to eat that with their meal because I want all that digestive action going on so that it's easier to emulsify those fats. But once somebody is really good at emulsifying fats, they can have it away from a meal, and then they do fine. I just kind of suggest that timing, since most people are in the process of improving that situation.
Yeah.
Okay. Nissa, I have been working on my bile flow for some time so I can increase my coconut oil consumption. I have been taking 2 to 3 beet flow per meal, did 6 rounds of Zenoplex, and have rid my diet of most processed foods and grains. When I try to add more coconut oil, I still break out, feel nauseous, and my skin is very itchy. What other steps can I take so I can increase coconut oil? I would love to use it for fat loss and help with my catabolic imbalance. Mm.
So after Nisa posted this, I asked her a follow-up question. I asked her, have you done an 11-parameter strip yet so that we could look to see is there bilirubin or urobilogen on that strip, so that we know maybe bile is not flowing, even though she took enough steps for most people. Most people, by the time I did 6 coffee suppositories, and coffee suppositories, do you want to explain why that helps bile flow well?
Yeah, they work in a different, literally from the other end.
Right.
So bile flow works on the bile itself, making it more liquidy and less crystallized and less sludgy. And then that bile is supposed to go through the gallbladder and then squirt out of the gallbladder through this pathway called the biliary tree or the biliary pathway. And then it's supposed to hit the food and help emulsify the fats at that point. But there's a lot of times, especially in a catabolic person, where that pathway, that biliary tree, is congested or constricted and can be blocked, usually by crystallized bile itself. And then the bile can't flow through the way it needs to flow, so it gets refluxed back into the liver and back through the blood. And that's when you'll see conjugated bilirubin leaving out through the urine.
Right. So if you can do that dipstick test and see that, then you know, okay, I've done a lot of steps to fix my bile flow, but I haven't done enough steps to fix my bile flow.
Yeah.
So she replied and said that she has not done that, but she just ordered some to do that. So that's the first thing that I would do, is trying to figure out, okay, do we know if it's flowing or not? There could be other issues. I mean, it's not impossible for someone to have an allergy to coconut type situations. It's just not something that I don't think I've ever seen that with a client, but I certainly believe it could be possible.
Yeah, and then, like, so, yeah, you want to really pay attention to, like, did you actually achieve the result you're looking for? Like, then you can do that. And if you haven't, you got to do more work first. But the great thing is there are tools available that can help you see that, you know. So, like, do that urine dipstick test. See, did you have your bilirubin or bilirubin? Is your specific gravity still really high, which is an indication of being too catabolic, meaning your bile is still going to be sludgy? And if it is, there's other steps you can take in addition to maybe doing a full-on coffee enema or something like that, or a beet flow flush, those things to help really push the bile. There's other things you can do to help your body be more anabolic if you know you're in a catabolic state. Things like particular amino acids like glutamine or...
right, if your blood pressure is not already high.
Yeah, or collagen, gelatin, those kind of things to help give your body the other amino acids that it needs to make good bile.
Right, because if you're taking steps to improve the issues, and she says she's removed most of the processed foods in her diet, and processed foods seem to have the ability to sludge up bile as well, and so does a catabolic imbalance. So if there's still some foods in there that are causing it to sludge up, and she's still way catabolic, even though she's taking steps, it might not be enough for that situation. So taking other steps to improve the catabolics in other way, catabolic imbalance in other ways is great. And then removing all the processed foods is the step I would take.
Yeah, go further.
All right. Cole from Buford, Georgia. I use it every morning in my coffee with whey. Isolate an hour before training.
Whey isolate.
Whey isolate. Pen. Okay, I thought he had a typo there. Okay, great energy source and mass MCTs. If you want to drop body fat and increase positive hormones, then definitely use it in the morning with no carbs. Program your body to use fats as a primary energy source.
So I'm okay with everything Cole says, except that that won't work for everybody, kind of like we've talked about. Yeah. But if you set your body up...
No diet is right for every person.
Yeah. But if you set your body up, then all of a sudden you could start to see some success with things like that.
Do you have any comment on the whey isolate bit there? Do you want to skip over?
I wasn't going to get into it, but I mean, you can. Why don't you do that?
Well, I think there are benefits from it. I mean, in general, we have some like standoffishness to it because of its impact on estrogen levels, raising estrogen. I think we'll talk about that more in depth though when we look at like a future episode on protein powders.
And we'll kind of talk about why when we were developing our protein powder, why we, you know, went other routes.
Yeah.
Okay, Rich. I recently started putting about a teaspoon in my morning coffee. Any other suggestions to get it in my system throughout the day? Cook with it.
Cook with it is one, to get extreme benefits, I find that cooking with it is not enough. I find that people need to actually add more in the form of coconut yummies. And let's say that you're a person that you really can't eat coconut oil in any form. We've found that MCT oil can bring those benefits about, and it has no flavor whatsoever.
Yeah, my favorite way is with coconut milk powder. I'll take like huge scoops full of that and throw it in my shakes. It's delicious. You can get that. There's one called Z Natural Foods makes coconut milk powder. We actually wanted to include that in our mix, but it's just not shelf stable enough. And then Wilderness Family Naturals has an organic one that has like a lot of great flavor to it also. And we have a ton of recipes coming out soon in our Cook for Your Chemistry cookbook that shows a lot of other ways you can use coconut to make like the power balls I made today, and
I can't wait to eat one of those balls.
Right, that's what I thought. So, and like, there's a lot of like crusts and waffles and pancake recipes and things like that that use coconut flour and coconut butter and coconut oil and coconut milk powder and fresh coconut
that
meat.
That paleo fudge that I made is basically like coconut oil with some cacao and some stevia and stuff.
Right. So, and we find like with making something like that or the coconut yummy type situation, that is the easiest way to just have a couple of them after each meal. And I lean more catabolic, so I really like coconut oil a lot because it really benefits me. Mm-hmm. And if I eat out somewhere, I mean, after my meal, I'm like to the waitress, you didn't bring my coconut yummy.
Yeah. Well, that's a tricky thing because it's like, doesn't it melt if you take it with you?
Yeah, you can't put it in your pocket.
Right, so like
surprised you haven't found like some kind of way to keep it cold.
There's a company that sells like little ketchup packets of it.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
I think it's Artesia or something like that. So, I can't remember the name.
And the way I'll do that, I'll put my coconut milk powder in a shake that I can just bring with me in my car. But then there's also really delicious ways to get coconut. It doesn't have to be just the oil. You can eat fresh coconut. You can blend that into your shake. It's delicious. It takes a little bit of work to, like, you know, shell it. Whole Foods usually sells, like, coconut meat in little pre-packaged stuff. And then there's also coconut butter, which is fantastic. It's like marshmallow cream.
It's really delicious.
Yeah. What? So you can melt. Like, coconut butter is very solid room temperature. You can eat it straight. It's delicious. Wow. But you can also use it to make awesome desserts or even sauces.
So yeah, if we make a chocolate sauce that we put on vanilla ice cream. Yeah. And it makes everything taste like, oh, you're not supposed to eat that.
Yeah. Throw it in, like, a sweet potato mash or a yam mash. Yeah. Or it's like, so creamy and rich. Like, the cauliflower mash. That you make, it would add so much flavor to it. It's freaking awesome.
Oh, we better rock this out. We're running out of time. We've got a lot of questions left.
Okay. Mark, hate to be the weirdo here, but it's very good for couples coitus.
True.
Okay. We've got a vote yes there. Jay, Long Beach, California. Toothpaste, lube, helps hair grow and rehydrates. Well, okay. I'll take your word.
We have two people backing that up. So.
Uh-huh. Maybe they're hanging out. Carol, brush both my teeth and my dog's teeth with it. She only has both of her teeth. And her dog's teeth with it. Does a great job getting rid of tartar. I use it to make homemade deodorant. And I use it straight as a skin moisturizer and lip gloss. Cook everything with it. Put it in my coffee and eat coconut yummies. I add unsweetened organic coconut every day. Love this stuff.
And I forgot to ask Carol. Carol, if we don't ask you on this post, if I forget, send us a note on Kicking in the Nuts on how you make the homemade deodorant. I really want to try that. That's really fun idea.
That's right. And I use it also, like if I haven't had a cold in like 4 years, but I remember I used to have like horrible chafed nose from blowing my nose all the time, and it would just hurt. And my parents said, no help. And it would just hurt. And then I later said, if I put Vaseline, I could, like, it would soothe it. But then I was like, that's gross. Like, that's a horrible chemical to put on your skin. But coconut oil is, like, all good, and it actually helps heal it. So there's another use.
Right.
Ooh, okay. Anyway. Debbie from Asheville, North Carolina. I take a tablespoon morning and lunch. Is that good for me if diet is correct?
Well, a lot of people say my diet is correct and they're following someone's advice. It's horrible, so I can't say if your diet is correct or not. But all those things that we said before apply to this question.
Yeah.
So if it's right for you and you can emulsify fats, then you're doing some great stuff.
I just had a good idea. You need to come up with a makeup line. I'll help you create it, made from coconut oil.
Perfect.
There we go.
Done. That'll be the sponsor of our next show. Because it shouldn't take us more than a week to wrap that up.
Yeah.
Get that done.
Yeah. Lindsay from Fort Myers, Florida. Is it good for diabetics and pregnant women?
So for type 2 diabetics, it can be a big deal because a type 2 diabetic is basically stuck burning fat. They can't even burn carbs, and that's kind of the problem that's going on. So if you can get their bile to flow correctly, then giving them coconut oil could really help lift their energy and give them some good resources and probably help them get rid of some of the fat they're having. But again, to really benefit them, you got to drop the carbs. For pregnant women, do you have an opinion on this? I hate pregnant women questions.
It's just because they're so legally, like, dangerous.
I know, I'm so freaky about saying anything with
pregnant
women.
Check with your doctor. You have to.
And you're also like, it could be mine? Could it
be? But hypothetically, theoretically, yeah, it's awesome. You know, if you have all these other issues. But a lot of times, women will get cholestasis or impaired bile flow when they're pregnant. And they'll have even stronger carbohydrate cravings, fat. So,
and some of the hormone effects that are going on could be causing that. I'm not going to say that's what it is, but it could be.
Right. So you could feel super awful if you're eating fats, if that's happening. And you might have had no problem digesting fats before you got pregnant. But now, like, because of the hormonal impact and whatever else is going on, you got cholestasis, which just means impaired bile flow. Then you should check that out. And you can look at that. Like, if you go to our free digestive issues course at kickinthenuts.com. You can learn how bile works and what it feels like and tests you can do on yourself to see if it's not flowing well. Then you can take steps to help fix that. And then once that is flowing well, then potentially it could be a really great fuel source.
Right. And, you know, but somebody making a kid, that kid has a lot of fats in it. So there needs to be a supply.
Yeah.
You know, so for a lot of people, if they're eating low fat while they're pregnant, that's a problem, and that's why they crave things like cheeseburger, you know, kind of stuff, because the body's like, look, we need these fats. So in that regard, wouldn't coconut oil be a kind of good idea? I'm not saying, but I'm just saying.
Okay, if I ever get pregnant, you better be a little more decisive with your answers.
I will not.
Yeah. You can probably put it on your stretch marks, too, on your stomach. That might help with your skin being more elastic. I don't know. Don't listen to me either. I know nothing. Tim from Mooreville, Mississippi. I love it. Coconut oil and extra virgin olive oil are the only oils I use. Woohoo!
You know, as it turns out, that's kind of how I am, too. And I'm not saying that there aren't others that can be... Well, butter, yeah, I'm all about butter.
That's an oil type of
thing.
Well,
like
yeah. But there's a lot of other oils that... I guess I lied.
Yeah.
I have all kinds of oil. Never mind. But there's other oils that people say, well, they have benefits for this, they're good at this heat, and some of them I'm not totally against, but when it comes to me using what I'm going to use, I basically just use those.
Like, I hear a lot of things about grapeseed oil, but you're kind of...
Right. Yeah, and some of the what they're saying about it, I'm saying, okay, I can agree with that, especially cooking at high temperature with that one, but I don't go that route. I have other things that I don't like about those, and I just stick with what I like.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of really great articles that... If you're sitting there thinking, like, I eat fish oil every day and flax oil, and it's awesome and it's essential, well, you guys are morons. Because
the reality is you just called a lot of people morons, because that's a big message out in the mainstream.
Right, yeah. No, I was thinking, like, if you're sitting there thinking, hey, I use this and that, you guys, meaning us, are morons for saying that fatty acids are bad.
Yeah, well, you can call us morons.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean... So just like saturated fat was really bashed in the past, and now like medical science has learned, it was actually fine. But now people are indoctrinated with the idea that essential fatty acids are super important to emphasize a lot. And it's really hard to convince people more close to our generations that you shouldn't be taking fish oil and all these other things.
Right,
like,
and there's some people that it can benefit, but there's a lot of people like me that it would ruin me if I was taking fish oil.
Yeah.
I would fall apart.
So if you want to like look deeper into that, you go to Ray Peet's website, and he has some really great articles on fatty acids and fish oils and how a lot of the data promoting the benefits of essential fatty acids is totally misinterpreted. So you can go to raypeet.com and look at his articles there.
All right, Timothy, put it in my coffee. Love it. Woo! Yay! Good, Timothy.
And that's popular. That's popular now. A lot of people doing that. I don't know that it's worth getting that excited about, but yeah, it's a good idea.
We're next to our last question, so I was trying to hurry. Okay, Anne Marie, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Maybe you know my sister. I'm brand spanking new to this page. It seems awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah, baby. I've only ever used coconut oil in soap. It seems that it's becoming more popular in cooking. I have a large bucket of food grade coconut oil that I've used for soap, but I'd really like to know a general rule as to where to substitute coconut oil for, say, canola or vegetable oil in cooking and baking. Thanks, every one of them.
Yeah, really, substitute it for all those, just as your starting point. And I know Anne-Marie is new, and I said hi, and she was excited about listening to some podcasts and stuff. Those vegetables, the vegetable cooking oils, we know are really not good now. So make that your first transition. Just start trying some coconut oils and things in some things. And remember, it might have a different flavor at first, but after your goal is just to eat that food. And then once your body sees, oh, I can really use this, this is good stuff, it can start to change your taste buds, and you'll actually want that more.
Okay, because we're fancy now, today's show is brought to you by Audible.com.
Audible.com.
Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And if you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books.
Tuny.
I always want to say
Tuny. Hello, genius. I'm Tuny.
Tony's books, or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com, or head on over to Hottie Patati Will Schmidt's page, mybodyofknowledge.net, and he's got a lot of good stuff on there too, and self-tests and all that jazz.
And thank you so much to everybody that's been leaving all the great reviews. It's so fun to hear about all the stuff you guys are learning about and you're excited about, and oh my gosh, I fixed this, I can't believe that. It's really fun, and that really helps us spread the word too. Those reviews are like magic. So keep that up, because that's really fun for us to get to hear.
All right, later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.